using Jesus, and we got to start using the Lord's real name, Yahuwah. And I'm like, God, this is just bad. So I sent them a very Christian message, and it was Christian, that this is, don't worry about the name. God created 70 languages, okay? He created 70 languages, 70 nations. Every language was created by God. Now, if you're in Iran and you're reading the Quran, it's going to say that his name is Esau, because that's how you say Jesus in Arabic, okay? Who's Spanish here? How do you say Jesus in Spanish? Jesus, see? Now, you think if you call Jesus Jesus in Spanish, that he's going to go, who are you talking about? I don't know Spanish. How do you say it in Korean? Or what? Filipino? See, now Jesus be like, yeah, what you want? You be like, I heard my name. I heard somebody call my name. Now me, I be sitting up here, I wouldn't know. But since he created all 70 languages, he knows his name in all the languages, okay? So you don't have to call him Yeshua. You can call him Jesus if you're English. You don't have to get highly educated and start going Yahuwah. Yeshua. I don't know. They make up stuff because they start adding vowels and stuff. And it's an attempt to sound educated, but it's not. It's what they're doing is, what Satan is doing is using your desire to be educated in Hebrew to take the name of Jesus out of your mouth. Because the name of Jesus in every set, all of those languages, the whole universe is under control of that one name. So rather you say it in English or in Filipino, the whole universe stops when you say the name of Jesus. Okay? If you start trying to sign a check with another name that you can't cash it with, the demons are going to go, I have no idea who you're talking about, but I'm going to slap you around right now. Right? So use the name that has the authority and either find out how to say it properly in Hebrew, Yeshua, which is his name. He will save. And, or, you know, if you're going to say it in Spanish, say it in Spanish. If you're going to say it in English, say it in English. But don't make up a name, right? Okay? Now, man. I say that to say this. I'm going to read, and I do have it here. I'm going to read.
Mike. Oh, yeah, your mic.
Oh, thank you. Okay. The name of the title of today's message is this. There's only one God, and there's only one hero. You understand?
Yeah.
And you need him. That's not part of the title, but you need him.
Yeah.
Because there's a big old 666 giant that does not like you very much.
Amen.
And God has only appointed one person to destroy him, and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
He's the rock of my salvation, and he's going to destroy the giant. If you think you're getting out of here, rapture, and you're going to be saved, you're not going to be saved by any other name other than the rock that hits that giant in the head, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
So, I want to make sure you guys understand, there's no separation. Do not start saying, well, I love Yahweh, but Jesus, you know, that was his son, and the Holy Spirit, that's the it. Because they don't even think he's a person. That's the it. And then that's the power it. And so you've got to understand the Bible so that you understand who God is and his authority to save. We're going to get into something this morning. Okay, so if you're in your Bible, I need you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. If you can't find it, have your neighbor help you out.
Can't find Genesis?
Yeah. And come up for prayer after.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Now, in the English, it says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
In the Hebrew, it says, Bereshit bara Elohim, et ha-shamayim va-et ha-aretz. Now, in the beginning, Bereshit means in the beginning. Bara means created, okay? Elohim actually means gods. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you say the word El is God, when you say I am Elohim, that means gods. Because when you put an I am on the end of a Hebrew word, it turns into an S. Okay? Now, the way it's written in Genesis means that either God doesn't speak good Hebrew, or he's trying to tell you something. Because if I say more than one person created, I can't say bara, I have to say bara'im. You understand? Because both words have to be plural. You understand? So when God wrote, he said Elohim bara. So he's saying them did one thing. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like bad English or bad Hebrew, because you have to do a plural with a plural in Hebrew, okay? Him wrote sin yodia. They want to know. I got to use an S on all three words just for it to be correct English. This right here, Elohim bara, means that the person who wrote it realized that he's only one, so he can only use bara and not bara'im. You understand? Only one God created the heavens and the earth, okay? Even though the word says Elohim, which means gods, okay? So God knew from the very beginning he is three in one, okay? And even when he said, I'm going to create you in my image, you just like, you're an egg. You got a shell, a yolk, and what else that thing? The whites, right? You're an egg. You're created a three-part being in one. Now, do you crack three eggs to cook them? No, you crack one egg. It's one egg, right? So you are a three-part being, and you're living in one. God created you in his image. So you have three parts. Your problem is you can't separate your three parts. God can. And so God can say, I can be in heaven and I can also be on earth. I can be in heaven. I can be also everywhere around the world. You understand? So God is an Elohim God, but God is one. Okay. So where's the first Trinity written in the Bible? The first Trinity in the Bible is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Then what does it say after that? And the Ruach Elohim, what? The Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. So now you got God the Father, or you got God the Creator, and now you got the Spirit of God hovering over the deep. So the Spirit of who? Elohim. It's God's Spirit. It's the same God that created the heaven and earth. This is his Spirit, but it's hovering over the deep. Then it says, verse 3, here's the Trinity, then God said. So now you got the spoken word. So in the beginning, you have God, the Word, and you have the Spirit for the first three verses of the Bible. You understand? So God has always included the fact that he is an Elohim, that he is God, and that he is a three-part being. Remember when they were building the tower and he said, let us go down and destroy what they're doing unless it happens. Yeah. But God doesn't say, I'm going down. He says, let us go down. Okay? But God never sees himself as a separate entity, or else he would have wrote Elohim Bara'im. No, God says Elohim Bara. We are one. Okay? God is one. Sma Israel. Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad, right? Adonai, he is Echad. He is one. But that word one means a unity. It's one, okay? God is one. Now, let's go to John chapter 1. I'm doing this for a reason, and we'll get to it in a minute. Because if you don't know this, you're going to be jacked up. Because somebody's going to tell you, all you have to do is believe in Jehovah. And then you'll be sitting there like, well, come on in, let's talk. And then he'll say, well, Jesus was really a nobody. But, you know, Elohim, I mean, Jehovah. And then you got to listen to that. And before you know it, okay, are we in the Gospel of John, right? Now watch this. In the beginning was the Word. That means whoever said, let there be, that's him, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You hear that? So the whatever spoke is actually God, all right? It says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So through the Word of God, everything was made through his spoken word. You understand? Now, and it says here, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, but darkness has not understood it. You hear that? Because remember when he spoke, he said, and God said, let there be light. And he separated light from darkness. Here it says here, he was the light, and he said, but the darkness did not understand the light. So is the darkness a person or a thing? He separated himself from a person. And who is that person? Big boot guy, right? Kick him out. So he get kicked out. God creates light. He separates light from darkness. He separates light from darkness. And here we have that God is the light of all men. And darkness saw him being created. Darkness saw him create earth. Darkness saw him create man, but it didn't understand what he was doing. Even the scripture says if he had known, he wouldn't have crucified him. So he didn't know what the plan was. All he knows is another man is here. Let's kill him too. And Jesus like, yeah, that's a good idea. Go ahead. Because as soon as you do, I'm going right down where you live and I'm taking back the keys. If he knew the plan, he wouldn't have did it. You understand? Okay. So I want now go down to verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You hear that? So the Word of God became flesh. And who is the Word of God? God. God became flesh. Okay? God became his own son? Yes. That's what Isaiah tells you, right? Isaiah 9:6. It tells you that the Son is also the everlasting Father. And you go, that's impossible. You can't be the Son and the Father. If you're God, all things are possible. So God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Ruach Elohim that now lives inside of you. God gave you a little piece of him inside of you so that the little piece of him inside of you can correct you when you're acting foolish so that you can walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Okay? So all of this is things that Christians need to understand, because if you don't understand it, you'll start trying to separate Jesus from God. You'll start trying to say, the spirit that lives in me is some it, and I can sin, even though, see, like if God was sitting next to you, you wouldn't sin. You'd be like, you're like, I was gonna watch, but since you here, right? But see, since we don't really believe that God lives with us. Remember the guy, what's the guy, Bobby. Bobby's like, hey man, I'm gonna go outside. I'm gonna go across the street and smoke because I don't want to smoke in the building.
I remember.
I was like, God walked with you across the street. Bobby, you saved. I said, we respect, we appreciate the respect, but God walked with you over there, and the Holy Spirit was like, so we can't separate. We got to understand that God lives inside of you and that God is one. Okay. Now, oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to show you something here. Did I write it up there? No. Genesis chapter 22. I love Hebrew because the Hebrew, reading the Hebrew just kind of opened my eyes to the whole Bible. Now listen to what it says here. It says here, here's Abraham. He's walking with his son, right? And his son says, Dad, we know we have everything that we need for the sacrifice, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says to him, I'm going to read the sorry English for you first. It says, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. It never uses any Hebrew word that said God will provide. It uses a word, yiro'ah, which means he will appear as the lamb. So the scripture doesn't say God's going to provide a lamb. It says, Elohim yiro'ah lo, God will appear himself as the lamb. So God appeared as the lamb. If you read this in Hebrew, you never have a problem that Jesus came and he was God. And then now those crazy arguments become stupidity and you go, it's the same person. We like Mr. Armstrong, we don't like Sandy. Okay. You know, it's like it becomes weird, okay? So understanding who you serve and understanding even though he has the ability to separate himself into three beings, doesn't mean he's a separate being.
Right.
The God that's in heaven is the same Holy Spirit that's walking around with you that's saying, turn that off. The same Holy Spirit, the same God, the same Word of God lives inside of you. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Now we got to learn something about what's going on, because the misunderstanding of Christianity is that you've been saved so you can hang out on earth as a Christian. Nobody tells you, hey, now you're at war. Like, right. Now you're at war. You're like, really? I didn't sign up for the army. Yes, you did. You said, Jesus Christ, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. That signed me up for war? Yes. Now your enemy is going to try to kill you every day. You're like, I don't want to do this. If you know what you're getting into, some people might be like, really? Now don't expect things to get better right away because the enemy knows you just got saved today. So look for a little trouble. You know, if you tell somebody that, they'll be like, I got saved today and the pastor scared me. Right? Because I told you the truth. This is a war. And the war is that you're trying to fight a battle and you're trying to walk with Christ and live for God and enter into the kingdom. Does Satan, your enemy, want you to place your gift down, your eternal life down, and say, I can't do this anymore? Of course, that's part of the war. He wants you to say, no thanks, it's getting too rough, okay? God wants you to fight it out, battle it out, pick up your word, pick up your righteousness, and fight this whole thing out until the end so that you can get your reward, because you're in a race. Everyone that finishes the race, not perfect, because you might have tripped and fell a couple of times, right? But you have decided to finish. Everyone, when I was a kid, they gave every one of us a little ribbon who finished the race. I was bigger than all the other kids. I was like ninth. They said, come get your ribbon. I was like, really? I ran up there happy. I was like, I didn't know I'd get one. But you get one for finishing. You don't get one for being the best in the crowd. It doesn't work that way with God. So I'm asking you to what? War and finish. Okay? So here it is. We're in Isaiah chapter 14. And listen what this says starting from verse 12. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will rise my throne above the stars of God." Who is this talking? Dummy. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the secret mountain. I will ascend Obama of the clouds. Do you know that word is in the Bible? In the Hebrew, that says, I will aneshev Obama Becha Anim. I will sit in the clouds of heaven. That means the clouds of heaven, the Obama is the seat of God. So when this guy took that name, he's directly trying to mock God. But Jesus says, I saw Obama fall as lightning. You understand? Or I saw Barack fall as lightning from Obama. You understand? So you took the name to mock God, and God says, well, I already took care of you in scripture. We know what's going to happen to you. So this is him making all of his great claims. He says, I will ascend above the cloud of the Obama. I will make myself Ki Elohim, like God. That word is 666. He said, I'm going to make myself Ki Elohim. I'm going to be like God. And then now what God does, he says, but you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth? The man who made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a desert? Who overthrew cities and would not let his captives go home? All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stone of the pit, like the corpse trampled underfoot. You will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. The offspring of the wicked will never be mentioned again. Prepare the place to slaughter the sons of sin of their forefather. Who are the sons of the sins of their forefathers? Nephilim. You have an enemy. Not only is Satan going to be destroyed, but everyone that he's responsible for creating, and he's the one that told the angels to sleep with women and to have children by them, and to them were born Nephilim, which born our problem.
Yep.
That's your problem. It is National Nephilim Day over somewhere in Europe. They're having a meeting, the COP26.
Right.
And they chose Halloween for all the Nephilim to meet. They chose Halloween. And they were just showing them all on TV today. They were just all happy to be there. TV stars, governments, business leaders, all the Nephilim are meeting today to talk about what? What is this? Climate control.
Yeah, sure.
God, climate control. This is all about climate control. Soon as Trump became president, you know what he did? He took us out of the Paris Accord. He said, this climate control is a hoax. We're getting out of this. We ain't paying no money into it. It's a hoax. We're leaving it.
Yeah.
And somebody go, no, Trump was a part of it. Not if he did that. And I just want you to say, I know everybody has different ideas about Trump, but let me tell you, he did some things that if you were Satan, would make you upset. You like, man, you are really getting me upset. Are you with us or not? So he gets them out of that accord. Their whole meeting today is for climate control. Okay? Now, this is what Bill Gates says. This is what Bill Gates says. What? Bill Gates says bioterrorism and climate change are our next biggest threats after the pandemic. This is what he said. So I'm going to read it to way it should say. Bill Gates says bioterrorism and climate change are our next attack on humans after the pandemic. That's how it should read. So bioterrorism and this whole thing of climate. Now, you guys, some of us don't understand because a lot of us weren't here in 2010, but we watched the earthquake happen in Haiti.
Yeah.
Killed, 230,000 people, okay? And soon as it happened, friend calls, got a hold of me from Japan and said, they just used HAARP in Haiti. I said, what's HAARP? So he sent me this whole big thing to study what HAARP is. Weather control weapon, he said, it's in Alaska. They moved it to Boulder now, but it was in Alaska at the time. And he was showing me how they shoot this high beam up into the ionosphere and they can pick and choose where they want the weather thing to be. You understand? If you don't believe that this is real, then you bought into the fact that the world is heating up and that's why we're having problems. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not why you're having problems. You're having problems because they have HAARP, because they have weather control, because they're able to do this. I watched the thing this morning where they were showing what happened in Texas. Do you know, Texas was one of those countries, I mean, one of those states that was not feeling the whole mask and thing, right? They were getting people upset. Now, I'm going to read something. Watch this. Okay. Executive Order 13920, May 1st, 2020, securing the United States bulk power system. Okay, the bulk power system is the electrical grid that controls the United States. Okay, now watch this. President Trump, it said, I, Donald Trump, President of the United States, find that foreign adversaries are increasingly creating, exploiting vulnerable abilities in the United States bulk power system, which provides the electricity that supports our national defense, vital emergency services, critical infrastructure, economy, and our way of life. The bulk power system is the target of those seeking to commit malicious acts against the United States and its people. So he knew that somebody was using this whole system, and they were trying to control the bulk power system. So when Texas was not acting right, now Donald Trump signs this so that it can be protected, so that the government can't control it, and so that only the military can control it, and the government can't control it, so that someone would never have the ability to just cut off the electrical grid in the United States, okay? There's one company that's owned by the government, but they had the finances to not only create enough power, but a reserve power in case anything went wrong, and that was called Escort, and it was in Texas, right? So they had enough power. Soon as After the 40 days in the flood, who became president? Biden. Soon as Biden, you know what he signed? He suspended the ability to protect the grid.
No.
He suspended it. After he suspended it, this weather pattern thing happened in Texas. And Eschcart had their electrical grid at first to protect it, but because he suspended it, it told them they had to shut down what they were doing and just use the windmills instead. So when the cold weather came in, they didn't have the extra to help the people who were cold. So the government, Biden, told them, shut off the grid in these specified areas that he called non-essentials. So they cut off the grid. 69 people died, froze to death in their homes, right? And this whole thing happened, and us, we're going, oh, it got so cold there and the wind was blowing and blew. No, they were commanded from the United States, turn off the grid in this particular areas and leave it on in these particular areas. So you're talking about 69 people, you're talking about people who are directly dead because of what a president came in and did, and then they ordered this company to turn off the grid. And they made sure that the company is not liable to lawsuit, so no one could sue them. So, you, like I was last night, because the Lord had me like, I was like, I can't believe this. Why would, that's crazy. And it says, this is all about the meeting tomorrow. Because climate control is going to give them reasons to shut down things, to shut down the grid. They'll say, we've got to save the electricity because if we don't, it'll ruin the power, the water source. So we got to turn off the electricity to save the water source. Or like they did up north last year, and they said, we have to cut off the electricity or fires might get started because the earth is heating up. So this climate control, like Bill Gates says, is the next attack on human beings, okay? If you don't know this, you have to understand, like, there's a scripture that says, when these things happen, for Christians, do not say conspiracy. I don't have the scripture with me now, but it says, when these things happen, people that follow God, don't you dare say conspiracy. Because if you say it's a conspiracy, you're leaning to the fact that something's happening that's not truth. You tell some people, 9/11 was inside out. Conspiracy. What are you wearing the mask for? Conspiracy. Everything is a conspiracy because if you want to know the truth, it's a conspiracy. And so the Lord wanted me to let you know this morning, there's so many things going on under your nose or in front of you that the 666 giant is doing, and you can't fight against it.
That's true.
And I want you to know that. Yeah, I don't care how many YouTube pages you get and you expose. You can expose them all. You can catch them, take pictures of them. You can do everything, right? Find a family member, everything. You can show pictures of them, putting the money in their pocket. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. You are not going to stop what the Antichrist is doing right now in the world. You're not going to be able to stop it.
Isaiah 8 and 12.
How does it read?
It says, the same night a conspiracy to all those whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear
ye
their fear.
Amen.
Will nor be afraid.
Amen. So don't run around. Don't join them. Don't. Oh, 9/11 wasn't the inside job. It was a 7-foot Arab guy in a cave, and he planned the whole thing. That's just a conspiracy that the United States was behind it. That's a conspiracy. See, the Bible tells you don't do that, because God will try to show you something. And if you join with the world in the way they're thinking, you'll say that it is too. And then you won't be able to see what's going on in the world, because you're supposed to be watching. Okay?
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Amen. In Revelation chapter 13, it says this. Now watch this. It says, "And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, 10 crowns on his horns, and each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have been fatally wounded, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world," somebody say that with me, "the whole world was astonished and and followed the beast." The whole world. Listen. The Bible says he's coming and everybody's going to follow him. Because immediately they might not know that he is not here to help. Okay? Now, this is what chapter 13 is, what the Bible says is about to happen. What you watch on TV is what people and demons are trying to tell you is about to happen. You're going to get reset, and they're going to give you a whole bunch of money and homes and all of this great stuff. And when the reset happens, we're going to all be okay. Don't worry, because the pandemic is going to be over and you're all going to be fine. Or I could say, Israel was born here. 1967, this happened here. We're in the last generation here. And the tribulation is about to begin. You need to be prepared, because the hero, Jesus, is coming to take you, and you got to be ready to go.
Yeah.
So you can put your faith in the earth being better and the conspiracies just being conspiracies. See, they're just conspiracies. Things are all going to get better. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, too much is happening for this to be conspiracy.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
Let's continue. It says here, "The whole world was astonished and followed the beast when men worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast." Men worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. "And they also worshiped the beast and asked, 'Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?'" Now, this is happening in the tribulation. And I just want to know, how do you have the mark of the beast and the beast is not here? So whatever you have is something, and it's a precursor, but it ain't it.
Right.
Because we've already done a study on what it really is. Mm-hmm. What it really is I want to ruin your whole DNA process.
Right.
I want that when you receive this, you have no ability to gain salvation. Because people are going to be dying in the tribulation, confessing Christ, and even the book of Revelation says some of them will be beheaded because of the word of God. And as soon as they got beheaded, they said, "Welcome to heaven. Here's your key to your house. God bless you." So Satan is like, "We're still not doing anything. We got to ruin their DNA so that they can't even go to heaven." And that's what that system is about. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
So don't get the two mixed up.
Yeah. Amen.
Here we go. "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise the authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. In the tribulation, what saints?
Tribulation
saints. There are Old Testament saints. There's the church saints, and there will be tribulation saints, okay? But look, nobody's coming for them right now. So look, he's going to overcome. Now, there's a scripture that tells you he will not overcome the church, okay? The gates of hell will not overcome the church. So he's not going to overcome the church, but there is a group of saints that will be on the earth that he will overcome them. And the scripture says those who will die by the sword will die by the sword. There won't be a coming a rescue to rescue you out of the tribulation and get you out of there right in time. You have to go through what you're going to go through. You understand? So when I'm telling people to live for Jesus and to separate light from darkness, you understand? This is what, because like the brother here, some of us have kids, okay? My sons, they think I'm a nut sometimes because everything that comes on TV, I want to turn it off. Devils, click. I know what they're trying to teach you here, click. So they're going to have yesterday, Westbrook, the basketball player for the Lakers, introducing his new clothing line. Skirts for men with pleats. And he walked out with his boots on and his skirt on.
Oh, my heavens.
And then at the end, they say, we're sponsored by Hennessy.
Oh,
the alcohol that opens your pineal gland.
Right.
God bless you. Have a good day.
Oh, man.
So it's like everything that they're giving you is for what? The destruction of men. Remember, somebody got kicked out. We're in a war. Somebody got booted out and had children here. And his children were destroyed here by God and the Hebrews, who sent them to war and said, kill the wives, kill the kids, kill the animals, get all of them Nephilim out of the land. So there's a war going on here. So everything that they create is not for you to enjoy. Satan is never going to give you just a glass of orange juice.
Right.
It's like, here's a glass of orange juice. Hold up. Squirt a little of that there. What was that? Cyanide. What? You got to understand, he's never going to give you anything. So you have to be able to distinguish what I can listen to, what I can't listen to, what I can watch, what I can't watch. Israel was in there watching some cartoon and Daffy Duck or Bugs Bunny or whatever, they were reading a book of Satan, and he's trying to get in touch with my side.
Daffy Duck?
It was like, I think it was that. Was it Daffy Duck, Israel? You remember that? It was Daffy Duck. And I'm like, okay, so my son was smart enough to say, turn that off.
Right.
My son was smart enough to say, turn that off. We have to understand, you have to distinguish between what you can have in your home and what you can't.
Amen.
You want to watch a horror movie tonight? Why don't you just open your door and say, if there's any demons out there, come on in. My family's in here.
Right.
You might as well.
Right.
Because I'm not going to, I know you won't let me come in your house and do a seance, but I know you'll bring the movie in your house.
Mm.
And I know you'll sit there and watch it. And you'll watch them do the seance, and you'll sit there and go, well, that was really scary. Yeah? And then all of a sudden, everybody's dreaming, nobody can go to sleep, everybody's jacked up. I'm seeing this. And you go, I thought Satan was just giving us a movie to enjoy ourselves. It was full of other stuff. Yes. So you're at war, and you have to understand that you're at war. Somebody got kicked out. Now, the tribulation is coming. Watch this. Let me finish up, Pastor Ben.
7 minutes.
That's beautiful. I got time. Okay. Let's go to verse 8. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. So everybody will worship the beast except for who? Those whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. If you're in the tribulation and you accept Christ, I mean, you might have a rough time, but you got a good future. Okay? So those who have their name, but so, as soon as you start confessing Christ, they're going to write your name down. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patience and endurance and faithfulness on the part of the tribulation saints. The beast of the earth, okay, it says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. That's deception. Because of the signs that he has given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in his honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, and so it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his hand or in his forehead. And were you guys with me when I did that scientific study? That says that the part that replicates DNA has to be in your hand or your forehead. The scientists were doing the study and said the best way to make this DNA replicate inside of you, we have to put it in your right hand, your forehead, or your eye. Okay, or your right eye. So I was like, well, that's what Revelation says. So God already knows what they're going to do, how it's going to work. And so all of this stuff is coming, okay? We're at the beginning of this incredible, crazy time, and the Lord's about to come. And you can either say to yourself, I believe God, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to escape on time. Because you can escape into tribulation. It takes a lot of running and thirst and hunger. But you can escape because the Bible says a lot of people are going to reject this thing, okay, and say, I'd rather have my hair cut off. Because they're going to say, you know what? I was standing next to Pastor Ben and he vanished. So whatever happens, I know God is real. Mm-hmm. So wherever he went, that's where I'm going. Because he told me that the rapture was coming. So I know it's hard to get people to understand that the world is not for you. Sin destroys everything in your life. You want to ruin your life? Just start sinning. Find somebody to fornicate with. Find somebody to drink with. Find somebody to smoke with. Find somebody to do whatever sin. Find somebody to create a lie with. And all of that will ruin your life.
Yes.
And Satan will go, well, gotcha. It looked like fun, didn't it? And you'll find yourself in a spot that you never wanted to be in because you don't understand, but Satan understands sin destroys lives, okay? It destroys. Once you exit sin out of your life, God can work in your life and build stuff and bless you. But sooner, if you want to destroy it all, like Adam, he had everything, right?
Everything.
Adam and Eve had everything. Satan said, I'm going to show you how to destroy it all. Eat this. Sin has always given Satan the ability to take everything. And so you've got to be careful about how you live in this earth. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and finish up there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Here's the instructions. Excuse me, sir. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Okay, good. Sit down. Take this gun. Take this. You know what I mean? Are you ready for the war? It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, I'm getting to it, Lord. after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist. Jesus is God.
Yes.
That's truth.
Yes.
Do not tell me you believe in God, but you don't want to get all into Jesus. Well, you crazy. Because if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God.
Amen.
Same person. Okay. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with the feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. That's where God wanted me to get to. Take up the shield of faith. What's the shield of faith? I believe in God. No, faith is emunah. Take up the shield of faithfulness. Because faithfulness will keep you safe. Faithfulness destroys the power of God. Watch this. If I'm married and I'm faithful to my wife, can any woman come and destroy my marriage? No. Like this. Come here, honey, you sure look good with that muscle t-shirt on. My wife liked the muscle t-shirt too. I'm going home. I just crushed the enemy. Why? Because I'm being faithful to my wife. Okay? As long as you're faithful, it doesn't mean, oh, I believe in God, so I'm... No, that's not what faith is. Faith is, I am faithful too. Okay? You say, do this. I say, the Bible says, don't do that. So I'm not doing that. I'm faithful to God. So God is telling you to put on this faithfulness, or put on faith, because with it, you will crush the arrows of the wicked one. There's nothing he can bring to you that you're going to do. Why? Because you're faithful to God. Hey, let's go. Let's go sneak here and smoke a joint together. And you say, no, because God wouldn't want me to do that. And God told me not to be involved with sorcery. So I'm not smoking anything. You just crush the power of the enemy with what? Your faithfulness to God. Because you do what God says to do and not what your flesh says to do or what you're tempted by. You're faithful to God. You can't get me to be unfaithful to my wife. Every attempt will get crushed. You know why? Because I'm faithful to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get me to be unfaithful to God because I'm faithful to him. So I carry my faith because it crushes the darts of the enemy. You can't tempt me. You're crazy. Get out of here with that. But if I can tempt you and I can get you to be unfaithful to God, I can slide sin in. Once I slide sin in, whew, I have you in a crazy house going, how did I get here? Because it doesn't happen immediately. At first, it's fun. Mm-hmm. Satan even makes sure you get away with it. You got away with that one. And then next time, oh, I can't believe this happened. So, look, I've been part of this war for a long time. I am never relaxed. That's why my sons are like, everything is the devil to you. Yeah, what's that movie? I'm his mom. It's the devil. They want to watch everything. I won't even root for LeBron. I think he's an ethnic. I'm not rooting for him. And now that Westbrook put on his dress to introduce his clothing line, I can't root for the Lakers. I can't. They're not even on my team. My team is God. My team is Jesus. You got too many people on that. Dwight White is promoting Hinduism. I'm like, what is this? I'm not rooting for this group of morons. Sorry, Jack White. Jack White, like, that's my team. Man, you can jump ship with me, though, Jack White. We can go with the Bulls. All right. So anyway, let me finish up. Listen, you guys. Everything that's going on now is leading to rapture and tribulation.
Yes.
You have the knowledge and understanding of what it's going to take to be with God. You have no idea how beautiful eternal life is and living in heaven is, but God wants you to have it. There was a war. The other person does not want you to have it. So you know what he says? I know you're in your flesh, so here, let's eat the soup now, since you're hungry for sinful stuff. Let's eat the soup now, and it'll quench your sinful appetite. And then you sell eternal life and everything for a bowl of soup, right? For an opportunity to sin here. And so we've got to be smarter, okay? We've got to be smarter than Satan. I love that thing that guy said, hey little girl, what are you going to be for Halloween? She said, what are you going to wear for Halloween? She said, I'm putting on the whole armor of God. I said, who trained that little girl?
Amen.
Somebody trained her well.
Real well.
She knows faithfulness. He separated the light from darkness. You know why? Because darkness does not offer you life. Light is trying to get you there. So get on his team and stay faithful to him. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, my son getting tall. Israel just stood up. That boy, 6 foot.